Grab your lunch and get ready to listen to conversations that connect, communicate, and collaborate with our local Catholic community. You're listening to Epiphany. Here's your host, communications evangelist, and certified life and leadership coach, Vanessa Denha Garmo.
Lots of sunshine, a high of 85 degrees on this Thursday, September 18th. A happy 21st wedding anniversary to my husband, Ron. Yep, we got married 21 years ago today. It wasn't this hot, though. I could tell you it was overcast, and it was probably in the 70s, which was a beautiful day to be outside taking pictures and wonderful. But I'm enjoying 85 and sunshine today. I'm definitely going to go for a walk on this day. 79 is a high tomorrow, mostly sunny, partly cloudy on Saturday. 77 back up to 81 on Sunday. Mostly cloudy skies. We have a couple guests joining us here today on Epiphany on this Thursday afternoon. We'll be talking with Dr. Joseph McInerney. He is the Vice President of Leadership and Ethics Education for the Knights of Columbus. And prior to retiring as a captain from the United States Navy, he served as the chair of the Department of Leadership, Ethics, and Law as a permanent military professor of Applied Ethics and Leadership at the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis, Minnesota. He graduated from the Catholic University of America with a doctorate in moral philosophy. We'll be talking with him about his latest book, From Achilles to Superman, A Leadership's Guide to the History of Ethics. So we'll talk with him about that. Joe Sheena will be joining us, a returning guest of Epiphany. He's going to be talking with us about mindset, 12 steps to health, happiness, and longevity, and, of course, with a Catholic perspective. But it's also Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. And so we'll be talking with him about that as well. And he's going to share a little bit of his personal story with us here today. I want to remind you that as we celebrate the fifth anniversary of Epiphany on Ave Maria Radio, September 21st, we're giving away tickets to the Shrine of Jesus' Divine Mercy Center Vision Dinner on October 10th at the Mirage Banquet Hall in Clinton Township. So if you call in today, we'll give you two tickets. You can join me and my husband, Ron, at our table, 877-573-7825. This is a wonderful event for faith, fellowship, fundraising, supporting this wonderful ministry, 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. So if you call in, you give you two tickets. This is October 10th. This is at the Mirage Banquet Hall in Clinton Township, and you'll be sitting with me and Ron. I'd love to meet our listeners, so call in today. I also want to share with you some news in the news today. As you know, there's been a lot of negative commentary, and we've talked about this, following the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And the latest coming out of that assassination has been the termination of Jimmy Kimmel. So ABC pulls Jimmy Kimmel live indefinitely after Charlie Kirk's comment. And I was thinking about this the other day. Now, he was making reference in his monologue that the person who is now being charged with killing Charlie Kirk was actually a MAGA supporter, and that it was all orchestrated by the right to make the left look bad. So it's a blatant lie, because the FBI investigation is showing anything but that. With his social media postings, talking to people in his own family, talking to his friends, his roommate that's been reported as a transgender roommate who he had a relationship with, his text messaging between this roommate. So it was far from the truth. So ABC and pulled the plug after pressure from the FCC. And this is something that I think a few years ago we would have not have seen. The tides really have turned. And I was thinking about this, and I know other people have commented on this, but the assassination of Charlie Kirk could end up being the real, quote-unquote, turning point that really wakes up this country and possibly many parts of the world. And it's really prophetic. For years, the loud radical left minority has controlled the silent majority. The majority who don't believe in their ideology, well, are no longer silent. And it's really something to kind of reflect on. It's being reported that 55,000 requests have been made to Turning Point to go to high school and college campuses. You know, and unlike the reaction to the death of George Floyd, where people went out and vandalized and caused all this, created violence and attacks, people responded much differently to the assassination of Charlie Kirk. They went out and they prayed. Thousands came out for vigils all across the country and parts of the world. And we've talked about this, Teresa and I, in our In the News segment we used to do in Catholic Connection, and we talk about this in her show, Catholic Connection, Tease 2 Cents. How long can media outlets sustain the loss of revenue when people have left following them in droves? So it's about time that somebody in leadership acted in such a way. This decision was long overdue. To mock the assassination of an innocent man, for them to do the right thing, bring back some level of integrity. Perhaps they realize the majority of Americans are so tired of this kind of commentary and attacks and divisiveness. We have to take responsibility, because we are reflection of our families. My dad used to always say that you are a reflection of us. So how you behave out in the world is a reflection of us, of the family. And my boss at WJR, my first boss in media, well, my second boss in media, because I was in print media too, Dick Havener used to say, you're a reflection of this radio station. Act accordingly. And it's true. I'm a reflection of everybody I represent. My family, my husband, my daughter, my clients, right? You know, my work in ministry, the boards I serve on. And I take that very seriously. And I'm glad to see so many people in leadership positions who are decision makers are making those decisions to let those people go who have mocked the death, the killing, the assassination of an innocent man that we all saw in real time because of the social media platforms we have today. That is what leadership should do. Is to say to people like this, we will not tolerate this kind of hate and evil as you represent our companies. So this is something, and this would prompt, I think, very fruitful conversations and show people that you can have open dialogue in a respectful way, even when you don't agree. And that's the whole point of what we're witnessing today, because he was killed because of things that he said that people did agree with. And it's not even so much, it was whole platform, the questions he asked. We cannot tolerate that. The only way we move forward is to have open dialogue. The only way we solve problems is to have open dialogue. We may not always agree, but we have to find some kind of common ground. And we as Christians are charged with speaking truth in Christ. It's not our truth. It's not my truth. It's the truth of Jesus Christ. It's in Scripture. We're just sharing the message of Jesus Christ. It's not what we deem to be true. It's what we know is true because we follow Jesus. So that's something we have to think about here today. Reminder also before we head into break that Jeff Kassab and I and Adora too, she's part of our book club, and others are part of our book club, but the three of us discuss this on the radio. Adora has been backed up Jeff as a co-facilitator. The Lamb's Supper by Dr. Scott Hahn. That is a book we've been reading. We'd love for you to participate in the conversation. We have so many fruitful conversations offline with each other and text messaging, and we'll love for you to join us in Telegram if you want. You can. I know people text me and email me, but we'd love for a group discussion, and we'd love for you to tune in and ask questions or comments to us while we're live on the air on September 26th. It's a wonderful book about Mass. So The Lamb's Supper by Dr. Scott Hahn. We are approaching 10 minutes past the hour, here on Epiphany on this Thursday afternoon on September 18th. Happy anniversary again to my husband, Ronnie. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with our first guest. Dr. Joseph McInerney will be joining us.
Beckway Door is a top provider of garage doors as well as home entry, patio, and storm doors. Locally owned since 1978, we give free, no-pressure quotes at prices 20% lower than most competitors and often provide same-day service for garage door repairs. Mention Ave Maria Radio for 10% off the replacement or service of your garage door or the installation of new exterior doors. Visit BeckwayDoor.com. That's BeckwayDoor.com.
I've always loved to write. It never seemed like work. I used to carry a little notebook around as a little girl and write poems and stories. I later discovered that one of my charisms is writing, so the fact that it brings me such joy is no longer a surprise to me. When my clients struggle with communicating a message or they dread having a conversation with someone, I always suggest they write their thoughts first. I even recommend dialoguing a conversation they anticipate having with someone in order to gain clarity about what they want to communicate. Don't worry about the spelling and grammar. Just write down your thoughts. There's a ton of research that shows the benefits of journaling and writing things down. Few people write personal notes to each other anymore. I love it when I receive a handwritten letter or note in the mail. There's something very personal about it. Journaling can be meditative, a way to pray and dialogue with God. Writing gives us clarity, and in the written word, we see God speak. This has been a Christ Center communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist and host of Epiphany.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. As a father who has helped homeschool my 10 children, I know the challenges you face. That's why you should check out Sylvan Learning Centers for personalized support tailored to your child's unique needs. Expert tutors in math, reading, and writing provide fun, interactive lessons with both in-person and online options that fit seamlessly into your homeschooling routine.
Visit sylvanlearning.com. Mention Dr. Ray for 10% off at participating centers.
We're back here on Epiphany on this Thursday afternoon. From Achilles to Superman, our leader's guide to McIntyre's history of ethics. Joining us now to talk about his book, Dr. Joseph McInerney is joining us here today on Epiphany. Thank you so much for joining us, Joseph. How are you today?
I'm great, and thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate the conversation.
Oh, my pleasure. So can you give us an overview of this book, From Achilles to Superman? Give us an overview of the guide.
So if it's all right, I'd love to do that in the context of how it developed.
Sure.
You know, I was teaching ethics at the Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland, and two very precocious students came up to me and they said, hey, we want to learn more about ethics. And I had read a book by a very eminent professor, Alistair McIntyre, about the history of ethics. And he, in his book, he went from the pre-Socratics literary elements through the Greek philosophers all the way up to the 20th century and talked about every major philosopher in that 2,000-year tradition. And it was just a fantastic overview of that tradition. So I recommended that book to my two students. And the problem with Professor McIntyre's thinking is it's very dense, and his writing is technical, and he's a philosopher and a brilliant philosopher, maybe the most influential English-speaking philosopher in the 20th century. And so they both had difficulty with it. They both put it down. And I said, well, you know, he's really a good thinker, so maybe we can do this together. So we did a book club together at the end of the semester when we all had time. We did 18 weeks of going through Professor McIntyre's book. And what I realize is we not only hit Plato, we not only hit Thomas Aquinas and Hobbes and Luther and all these great thinkers, McIntyre himself is a great thinker. And so what he does is he provides a context to understand the strengths and weaknesses of all of the great minds in our moral philosophical tradition. And I learned more in that book study than I did in 9 years of teaching ethics at the Naval Academy. I don't know what that's
wow.
But it was true because we hit all these great thinkers, but McIntyre's presentation was really, really thought provoking. And so, at the end of that process, I had 80 pages for a book, 80 pages of notes. And I said, this is something I'd like other people to benefit from the education that myself and my students and a few colleagues involved in the discussion really benefited from. So that's kind of the guy for the book, is that the idea for the book is to present McIntyre's thinking and the thinking of these great philosophers in a language that's accessible to the everyday professional that wants to learn more about ethics and leadership. And so that's kind of the overview. So it really starts with Homer's work in the Iliad and the Odyssey. That's where McIntyre begins, and it ends with 20th century moral philosophy. And we try,
wow.
And he hits everything. He's a very good guide through that massive tradition in literature. And so I hope I was certainly blessed by his insights in that discussion. And we're hoping that this recap of his thought will be able to share those insights with other people. So sorry for that great long answer to your short question.
No, it's great. And so really that led me into my next question, is breaking, how difficult was it to break this down for the average person to consume this information? I mean, you are an instructor, so you have the background of taking kind of complex topics and breaking it down for a student to understand.
Right. It was good for me to, because like when you get into, and I think we all have this experience when we read a book, sometimes you start glossing over stuff that you really need to pay attention to. And so this process made me pay attention to what McIntyre was saying in this book. And so I've been blessed to be able to work in the field for 10 or 20 years prior to doing this, so 20 years. And so I was able to, I was used to the language McIntyre was using and used to the ideas that he was articulating in a way that my students weren't. So when I first got into graduate school, I admired the great minds. And one of the things I recognized is I wasn't one of them. So what I wanted to do was be a translator, though, because they have such important things to say to us, and I knew I could understand it and read it. And so my goal really in my career as an academic is to translate this great thinking to other people who are just as bright as me but haven't had the opportunity to take the time to hone the skills necessary to crack this stuff open. So what I tried to do is really put it in everyday plain language, although the concepts are pretty tough. These are the philosophy can be tough, but the goal is to have it articulated in everyday language. So people that don't have, 5, 10, 15 years studying theology or philosophy can still access it. And I'm hopeful that we achieve that in the book, but that'll be for readers to judge, I guess.
So in the description of the book, you ask the question, how can we escape our leadership predicament? And I love that question because I'm a firm believer as a coach who focuses on leadership development with clients. I work with emerging leaders often, that we all have leaders in us. We just have to develop them. And we may not be leading a huge company or a big ministry, but we're leaders in our own lives in some way, shape, or form, whether it be in our home or our volunteer opportunities. So why is it so important for us to ask that question, how can we escape our leadership predicament? I think it's a great question to really ponder.
Yeah, I think, and this is why the history of ethics is helpful, I think, Vanessa, because it's, we are, as members of our community, we're given ideas, whether we know it or not. Like, our notion of freedom has been delivered to us through American culture, and there's some strength to that notion, but there's also weaknesses. And without having an idea about the history of it, it's hard to critique. Like, we're told, freedom is the ability to do what you want. And, that's how I understood freedom before I started engaging, in graduate school with an idea like freedom. And yes, it's a big part of freedom, but there's more to freedom. And if you don't understand, freedom in a rich way, that definition of freedom can become very self-serving and even self-destructive. Like, yeah, doing what I want is great, but what if what you want to do is harmful to you as a person? That can be a huge problem. And so that's why it's important, not only for our individual flourishing, but even more important when we're responsible for other people, to really know what we're about when we're in a difficult circumstance and we have to maybe confront somebody that is doing something bad either to themselves or to other people, and to know and to have the confidence that we're not doing something, you know, self-serving, but we're doing something that's good for our follower, even if it's a difficult thing. So I think, you know, having, you know, trying to look at our leadership, I think in our culture, leadership, as the surveys are showing us, is not only distrusted, it's disrespected. And I think it's because we don't have a deep understanding of our ethical tradition. There's a lot of resources in that tradition, but there's also a lot of things that can push us in bad directions too. So I'm not sure if that gets to answer your question exactly.
No, it does. And it kind of leads me into applying what you're talking about, Joseph McInerney, to what we're seeing in the world today. And I was just talking about this in my intro of my show, about the responsibility leaders have from an ethical standpoint in addressing the response to the assassination of Charlie Kirk. So however you feel about him or not, it's the response to someone being assassinated. And we're noticing people being fired left and right with the latest of Jimmy Kimmel's show being canceled. That's that's the way to discuss ethical leadership as it applies to what people are seeing in the world today. Can you kind of take your concepts from the book From Achilles to Superman to what we are noticing in the real world today? And this issue with how leaders are responding to reactions to Charlie Kirk's death.
Yeah. Okay. So you told me there weren't going to be any hard questions in this interview.
Oh, so- sorry.
No, I mean, it's a great question. I think it is it's a really hard issue because there's so many things that we're trying to balance here, both as a society, as individuals. Yeah. One, we want to balance the dignity and the breach of the dignity of Charlie Kirk. I mean, he, as far as I can tell, he did nothing wrong and was killed for that. And his family is going through horrendous pain and suffering right now. That's one aspect that I think has to be front and center for our reactions to that situation. We have competing interests from a cultural perspective. Is that, you know, I've heard arguments from, and this is a very superficial analysis. I've seen this, you know, in the headlines for the last 24 hours. So I apologize if I'm not thinking about this terribly well. But you have arguments from one side: a canceling of a show, well, that's a suppression of free speech. And as Americans, and really as human beings, I think we can say freedom of speech is fundamentally important to our ability to flourish in community. So we have to protect that freedom as in the tradition of our country. On the other hand, the question becomes, what are we saying is what we're saying true? And if it's not true, does the community have a responsibility to react against falsehood, so to speak? And then how do they go about doing that? And I think, you know, reacting against false speech is, I think if we're using coercive, punitive, even legal measures about that, we're in dangerous territory. But I guess I'm such an American, but if we're using a capitalistic context where people are like, well, I think that's false and I'm going to turn off my TV, I'm kind of okay with that too. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I think leaders have a responsibility to say, to take into account what's happening, whether it's assassination is a very black and white issue, but there are opaque moral issues in our culture, and leaders have the responsibility to examine those issues very carefully and then come out strongly for what is truly good, not only for themselves, but for the people that they're leading and for their communities, that we have to have the wisdom to be able to see what is good and true and beautiful in a world that has trouble understanding those ideas, and then articulate that to our followers so they can have the confidence to know that they're doing good and to be committed to those goods too.
We're talking about the book From Achilles to Superman, A Leader's Guide to McIntyre's History of Ethics, with the author Joseph McInerney here today on Epiphany. Who published the book, Joseph?
The publishing company is called Whip and Stock, and it's under their Cascade Books imprint. And so that's they're an academic publishing company that I've worked with previously.
Great. We're going to put this up in the bookstore of AveMariaRadio.net as well, so people can get a link to buying the book there as well to make it easier for them. Who are you? Who is your specific target audience when you wrote the book? I know you said it's published by an academic publisher, but is it for leaders in development? I mean, who are you targeting?
That's a great question, because this is not a typical academic book, actually. I'm working with academic sources, but mm-hmm. what I want to do is communicate to a lay professional audience. So I want the ideas in this book to be addressed to people who are professionals, people who are leaders, you know, hardworking, intelligent people that want to know more about ethics so they can be better leaders in their community. So that's a very broad audience, obviously, but that's my hope. Is I know, you know, as a student of philosophy and working with my students and colleagues on these ideas, I benefited from them, and you know, I'm in a leadership position professionally, and I'm using these ideas to try to do my work better and better each day. And I think my hope is that other professionals can take the time to think about these things too, because we have a responsibility not only to ourselves but to our communities to be the best people that we can possibly be, and that's crucial for not only effective leadership but leadership that brings us towards good goals for our communities.
You know, I can see this book from an academic perspective as well, of people that are, you know, studying programs that are going to put them in leadership positions at some point in their life, whether they want to go into business or in the corporate world, whatever it may be, to be for a great class project, you know, to discuss these concepts of ethics, especially at Catholic universities across America, to use From Achilles to Superman as a tool to have these wonderful, fruitful discussions on leadership and ethics.
Yeah, that's my – well, I agree with you, Vanessa. I hope other people do too. And number one, thank you for putting the book on your website. And number two, I think you're absolutely right. And what this – I'm hoping the book is really an entry towards this you know, people engaging in the Western tradition of moral philosophy is that – That tradition has its flaws, but it also has great resources, and so we can learn from Aristotle, we can learn from even Machiavelli, who has a bit of a ruthless reputation, but a person like Machiavelli, he asks great questions, and I'm not crazy about the answers that he provided to some of those questions, but he's worth, you know, engaging with as an intellectual source and reflecting on and taking the good and the bad from his position, so to speak. And there are many, many other authors in that book that it would be, my hope is that they get, as people get exposed to these great authors, you know, through reading this book, and then that they can explore further. That's my great hope for, you know, this to be a catalyst to further intellectual development from a moral perspective for our leaders.
We're talking with the author of the book, From Achilles to Superman, Joseph McInerney, with us here today. A couple minutes left with you here, Joseph. What else do you want to share with our listeners about the book and your hopes for the book before we let you go?
Well, I guess one aspect of the book that I'd like to bring out is my admiration for Alistair MacIntyre's moral thinking. Is that one of the things that he does so well in his book is that he's able to put into context the great contributions of these thinkers, and also their failures. And I think that's a very important, like most of the people that he covers, they're geniuses. They're amazingly talented intellects. But the ideas that they articulate often have really bad implications. And so if you take a thinker like Immanuel Kant, who's a very influential German thinker from the 18th century, he is a person that influences our moral culture, and in some good ways he articulates a principle: you should never use a person as a means to an end, but always treat people as ends in themselves. So that's a great idea that Pope John Paul II used to teach about. So it's a wonderful mm-hmm. idea. But he also narrows moral thinking in ways that are so constricting that the impact is very negative. And MacIntyre is masterful at this. He shows how, based on Kant's thinking, Adolf Eichmann, you know, basically was part of the final solution during the Holocaust, because he applied Kant's narrow moral thinking to his choices, really, and he absolved himself psychologically from it. It's a masterful application of philosophical principle to history, and it's something that we can all learn from. So I can't really, you know, praise McIntyre enough. I hope that doesn't sound too congratulatory for him, but he brings out ideas in a very compelling way that's relevant to us as we live our lives today.
Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure having you on. I wish I had more time. There's so much I'd love to talk to you about leadership in general and your background. We have to have you back on one day and talk more about that. Dr. Joseph McInerney here with us on Epiphany. I'd love to hear more about your work in the United States Navy and the Department of Leadership and Ethics and Law at some other point.
Vanessa, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Anytime you want to talk, you can tell I like talking about this stuff.
Yeah, I would love to have you back on. I think you would offer some great insights, and this is really kind of up my alley as a leadership development coach and the work I do in communications coaching. I love these conversations, so thank you for being with us.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it, Vanessa. I hope you have a wonderful day.
You too. God bless you. Dr. Joseph McInerney here with us. He's the author of Achilles, From Achilles to Superman, A Leader's Guide to McIntyre's History of Ethics. It's available at AveMariaRadio.net in our own bookstore. We'll also put links to it in the archive section of Epiphany at AveMariaRadio.net. Don't go away. When we come back, returning guest of Epiphany, Joe Sheena will be with us talking about his book, Mindset, 12 Steps to Health, Happiness, and Longevity. We'll be talking with him about Prostate Cancer Awareness Month, and he'll share with us his story. We'll be right back after this.
The Wine Palace in Livonia is a proud sponsor of Ave Maria Radio. The Wine Palace is a family-owned business for over 60 years where customers come in for a great service. The 9,000-square-foot store includes a humidor, specialty wine room, and a rare and collectible spirits room. We have the largest selection of spirits in the state at the most competitive prices. Ask for one of the brothers, Cliff or Kelly, and thank them for their strong support of Catholic Radio. Delivery is available. Please visit the Wine Palace at I-96 in Middlebelt or at winepalacemi.com.
Looking for a retreat venue for your youth group, sports team, ministry, or staff event? St. Francis Retreat Center in DeWitt sits on a picturesque 95-acre property, complete with three large conference rooms, two chapels, two dining rooms with commercial kitchens, meeting spaces for smaller groups, overnight lodging, and a professional staff to make your event a success. Call 517-669-8321 or visit stfrancis.ws to book your event today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak from More to Life. Not having a will puts an unnecessary burden on your children. At mycatholicwill.com, a legal will is as simple as 15 minutes filling out information about your family. The standard cost is $79.95. However, thanks to our partnership with mycatholicwill.com, when you use the promo code AVE, A-V-E, your will is absolutely free. No hidden costs whatsoever. Visit mycatholicwill.com.
For over 40 years, Leader Business in Ann Arbor has delivered top-quality copiers, printers, scanners, and software solutions, all backed by expert service. Rooted in faith and integrity, they ensure your operations run smoothly with fast response times and proactive maintenance. Join the many Catholic-owned organizations that trust Leader Business. Visit leaderbusiness.com or call 734-253-2534. Leader Business. Equip. Serve. Support.
Our next guest is a returning guest of Epiphany. He's the author of the book Mindset, 12 Steps to Health, Happiness, and Longevity. And he's joining us now to not only talk about this book, but we're going to be talking about a recent diagnosis he's had as we talk about Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. Joe Sheena, thank you so much for joining us here in Epiphany today.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure talking to you. I know a lot of things have happened in approximately 9 months since we last talked.
A lot. And so I want you to share with our listeners. You and I were on the phone talking about this the other day, and I thought, oh, this is a wonderful opportunity to bring you on to talk about this with our listeners. So tell us about what's been going on with you, Joe, and the awareness you want to bring to our listeners today.
Well, first of all, if you have a family history of prostate cancer, for example, or any cancer, you need to be aware of some steps you may need to do to be proactive about taking care of the problem. You know, so during this time that I was writing the book, I listened to, oh God, thousands of podcasts and read several publications, not just about prostate cancer, but about health in general and about cancer and about other health risks. And one of the things that I had to be very aware of through my family history, being that my dad and my uncle had prostate cancer, right around the same age that I am right now, within about 3 or 4 years of my age right now. So I always had to kind of like look in the rearview mirror and make sure that I was paying attention to my PSA level. So if anybody doesn't know what a PSA level is, it's a blood test that you do, and it measures this protein which is released, you know, into your bloodstream through your prostate. And, you know, if you have a PSA level that increases through time very slowly, that's just a natural progression for men typically. But when you start to see the numbers start rising to, you know, when you get around that four-ish level, a PSA level of four, then you really have to start paying attention to it. So in my case, I would have to say that like maybe about 10 years ago, actually, my doctor had, you know, been working with me, and he says, look, he says, being the fact that your dad and your uncle had it, you're about three times more susceptible of having it than the average person is. Now, you know, bear in mind that, even through a little bit of a family history, not related to your dad or whatever, but like through your whole history, you're about 25% more, more suspect to having prostate cancer just through any kind of family history.
Yeah.
So, me being that, so like, you know, I'm in a heightened awareness. So, you know, even though through, again, it's all spelled out in the book that I wrote, you know, I changed my diet, I changed my lifestyle, you know, I became very conscious about everything I ate, everything I do. I have like these, you know, 12 steps that I practice religiously on a daily basis, you know, to try to work on my physical and mental balance in my life. I still have to be aware that there's just some things that you cannot completely prevent.
Yeah.
So I saw my PSA. I do blood work twice a year, once with my urologist and then once on my own. I just, you know, I've done this for about the last 3 or 4 years. Back in April, I would have to say, or maybe it was March. Yeah, March. So March, I did a PSA, and I saw my PSA had gone up about a point and a half over and above where it was the last time, which was 6 months prior to that time. And I'm like, okay, that doesn't look very good. So I had run into a guy that was working on a longevity clinic through some of these leadership conferences that I was attending. And I said, you know what, let me check this guy's place out. You know, let's see if there's something that maybe I can learn from, or maybe he can learn something from me. And let's see what happens. So he was showing me his place, and he says, you know, he's got this big MRI machine, and he can specify any part of the body, and it's very, very accurate. And that's the one beautiful thing about about medicine nowadays, is that things are progressing very rapidly. And, you know, through technology and everything like that, I mean, everything's just getting more and more precise.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw that my PSA level had risen. I called Dr. Araha, and I said, listen, I think I want to do this prostate MRI. So this was without really talking to my doctor or anything like that. I said, look, you know, I don't want to wait. I'd rather just get this thing done. Let's see if there's something there that I need to be concerned about. So I did go to his facility. I had the prostate MRI done, and sure enough, they found a nodule in my prostate, which he recommended I probably should get checked out.
Mm-hmm.
4.5 years ago, I was listening to a podcast on a show called The Drive with Dr. Peter Attia, and the doctor that was on the podcast, his name was Dr. Ted Schaefer. Dr. Ted Schaefer is the head of urology at Northwestern Hospital in Chicago. And I said, well, if anybody's going to look at me, I want this guy to do it because this guy's like one of the foremost authorities. So I had scheduled an appointment with him. We went and I got a liquid biopsy done. A liquid biopsy is a less invasive type of biopsy because you got to be very careful about doing biopsies because sometimes, you know, cancer can spread a little bit more aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
Through regular biopsies, so you have to be very careful about what you do. I had learned about that in his initial podcast. I looked him up. I did my research on this doctor, and, you know, he was the real deal. And I said, if anybody's going to look at me, I want this guy to do it. He did the liquid biopsy, and about 10 days later, he informs me that I got two nodules, not just one, in my prostate, and that I have a Gleason score. Gleason score is a measurement that they give men with prostate cancer to identify, like, your risk of,
mm-hmm.
There's a terminology for it. I'm sorry, it's escaping me right now, but.
It's okay.
In any event, I was stage two. So I was very early in the stages of detection. Thank goodness. So I had a Gleason score of 3+4. That all that indicates is that, yes, I do have very early stages of cancer. And then they give you percentages, and all these percentages have something to do with one thing or another. So then after you find that out, then you're like, okay, well, what are my options? You know, what should I do? You know, in my case, based on my physical activity, based on, you know, I don't consider myself old, even though I'm 68. I feel like I'm in pretty darn good shape. I take care of myself.
I do
all the right things. And I'm like, well, you have the choices of radiation. You have a choice of just monitoring it and not, and just, you know, keeping an eye on it. Cause again, I was very early stages of it, or the other one was to do prostate surgery.
Mm.
I elected to do the prostate surgery. I felt that my recovery would be pretty good. And September 4th of this year, not too long ago, I ended up having prostate surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And I've recovered pretty darn well, actually.
How do you contribute your health regimen and habits to the recovery, Joe?
Well, the one thing that I did know, and I spoke with some friends of mine that actually had the prostate surgery, and so I got myself informed on, you know, what are some of the things I can do so that I can have a rapid recovery, and I kind of knew this already anyway. And that is like, you know, you got to keep grinding at it. You got to keep on working out. You got to keep on, you know, don't really change anything that you are doing. The best thing you can do is get yourself in shape to recover. So recovery is, you know, it can be a long drawn out process, or it can, you know, it can go pretty smoothly. So far, my recovery has been pretty darn well, so I'm very pleased with the direction I'm going in right now, and you know, and I'm just very grateful that that you know when it did happen, you know, to me a little, you know, if there is any like saving grace to anything. And again, you know, how do you turn like something like that into a positive? You turn it into a positive by saying, you know, instead of like reflecting and saying, you know, how could this happen to me? I eat everything right. You know, I live a very clean lifestyle. I'm out in nature all the time. I feel like I do all the right things. Just wrote a freaking book about this, all this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
and then you're saying, and then all of a sudden the doctor says you have cancer and then you got to have the surgery and all this other kind of stuff. So, you know, you go through all these like different, you know, mind implosions here, you know, and it's like, but I'll tell you one thing, Vanessa, I cannot believe, you know, my friends and the support team that I have and my church and my, you know, and the many priests that I had, that helped me through this, period of time, you know, through their prayers, through their encouraging words, through, you know, I just felt, all the support that I was getting from everybody. You know, people were doing like prayer chains for me. And I just really felt that, you know, like I was very anxious. I would have to say, you know, a month prior to the, surgery, as if you don't have a soul, how can you not be a little bit anxious about it, right?
Sure.
You know, after talking to all my friends and when you hear all this support from everybody, you know, I'm praying for you. We're doing these prayer chains and all this other stuff. And, you know, through all my meditations and all my prayers and my rosaries every single day and all my, you know, nature walks with God and telling Jesus that I love him and it's whatever is your will, you know, let it be done. And, you know, when it was time for me to, I can't forget the Blessed Mother too, because I carry her very, very strong in my heart. You know, then when the time came, I was ready.
Yeah.
I was ready.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, your will be done. I told my wife where all the secrets were. And I talked to my kids and all my kids, you know, had, you know, all this whole positive thing. Dad, you got this. You know, you do. And of course, my loving wife, Fadia,
mm-hmm.
How could I do anything without her love and support? And, you know, when you got like this truckload of, you know, love and encouragement, you know, you can plow through anything.
Yeah. You know, the reason I wanted you to share this too, Joe, because I think it's a testament not only to your faith, which thank you so much for sharing here in Epiphany, but the fact that, you know, we're living in not only environmental challenges, but we do have genetic components. So we doesn't mean we don't go around trying to be as healthy as we are. And that's why you wrote the book. I mean, we're all made up a little differently. We all have our own different histories, family health histories, but that just makes us the need to be more proactive, right?
Well, exactly. So, you know, when I talk to people about, you know, when I've done a couple of speaking engagements, I always refer to the 3 D's about depression, dementia, diabetes, and then how do you turn that D around? You know, you turn it into positivity, planning, and persistence. Well, in this case, you know, how do you take this news and how do you put a positive spin to it? Well, how do you put a positive spin to it is you need to make sure that you're very well informed with the prognosis. You have to be proactive and, you know, seeing the signs of this thing. I did, you know, fortunately catch it early. So you take the fact that I caught it early, you turn that into a positive, and then it's just a matter of attitude from there. You know, I remember back 25 years ago now, you know, my oldest son had been diagnosed with osteosarcoma, which is a cancer of the bone.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had been misdiagnosed, you know, three times. And then finally, there was a radiologist that verified the fact that he had the sarcoma. So what do? You know, do you bury your head into it, or do you look for the best doctor in the world that can take care of him? Fortunately, you know, I was in a position where, you know, wherever the doctor was going to be, I was going to find him, I was going to seek him out, and I was going to make sure he took care of my son.
Yeah.
And so we ended up having to go to Sloan Kettering, and we had a great doctor over there. He performed the surgery for him, and he's a and my oldest son, coincidentally, is a doctor himself. And actually, if it wasn't for my son working at Northwestern last year, or I'm sorry, about 18 months ago during his fellowship, he's an anesthesiologist. I don't think I could have even gotten this appointment with the doctor. So God works in wonderful ways, doesn't
he? Yeah, he does. Amazing to that. Joe, we ran out of time. We have the book available at AveMariaRadio.net in our bookstore for anybody to purchase it. We have 30 seconds with you. Last words before we let you go.
Don't ever be discouraged. God is with you all the time. Just ride the wave of God's love and mercy. And remember to thank Jesus every single day you wake up.
Amen. Joe, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you for being with us here today.
Thank you, Vanessa.
God bless you and all you do. Joe Scheana with us. The book is available at AveMariaRadio.net. Mindset, 12 Steps to Health, Happiness, and Longevity. And he has a true, strong faith. Thank you for being with us, everyone. We got to take a break. But before we do, just a reminder, we'd love for you to join us at the Divine Mercy Center Vision Dinner on October 10th at the Mirage Banquet Hall in Clinton Township. And we're giving away tickets and in honor of the fifth anniversary of Epiphany. So you can call 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. We got to take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Honey, did you ever call Mighty Dog Roofing of Ann Arbor for that free roof inspection?
I knew I forgot something.
Roof leaks can cause mold buildup or even roof collapse. Protect your family today by calling local Catholic Dan and Mary Flanagan at Mighty Dog Roofing for a free inspection of your roof, siding, or windows. Mighty Dog Roofing, 734-224-4916. That's 734-224-4916.
Most physicists agree that the cosmic tape can be rewound to a moment 13.8 billion years ago when there was a small point, like Horton's dust speck, which gradually expanded into our universe. As to where the speck came from, how it happened to be, the same cosmologists are clueless. 3.8 billion years ago, they estimate, life first appeared on Earth. To this day, its origins are still unknown. About 40,000 years ago, the record of human history suddenly changed. Art, advanced language, trade, travel, suddenly all became part of the anthropological record. The source for this sudden change? Unknown. Our lives, our history, are shrouded in mystery. Yet foolishly, we think that we control, that we can decide who has value and what characteristics establish human worth. Much better would it be if we were to live in open-mouthed wonder and to see all as gift. GuadalupeWorkers.org.
Hi, this is Ed Bahura with Sylvan Learning Centers. This is one of our many five-star Google reviews.
I would like to take the time to thank all of the staff at Sylvan for helping my daughter achieve her goal of attending the University of Michigan Ann Arbor with a full scholarship. My daughter has been able to maintain all A's in math and increased her SAT score by 200 points as a result of attending Sylvan.
To learn more, call 1-800-EDUCATE or visit sylvanlearning.com.
It's a Thursday, September 18th. Beautiful summer, sunny afternoon. The fall is officially on the 21st, which is the anniversary of Epiphany. 5 years on the air. So exciting. Went by so fast. I can't believe it's already 5 years hosting Epiphany here on Ave Maria Radio. Although I've been involved with the station, for more than 20 years. Started filling in for Teresa about a year into her hosting Catholic Connection and My Christ Center communication messages started airing in 2012. So I've been a big part of this ministry for a long time. 5 years to be with all of you. So honored to our listeners who support the work that we do here at Ave Maria Radio, being part of this ministry, and for tuning in, and all the guests who've been part of the programming, people sharing with us their epiphany moments. We're going to have a special epiphany moment program on Monday, to celebrate the 5th anniversary of Epiphany. So some really cool epiphany moments, and these are things that help us prompt us thinking about our own epiphany moments where the Lord is really directing us and shining truth on our life. So again, in honor of our 5th anniversary, we'd love for you to join us for Shrine of Jesus, the Divine Mercy Center Vision Dinner on October 10th at the Mirage Banquet Hall in Clinton Township. You will be with my husband and I, Ron, who we celebrate our 21st anniversary today. We'd love for you to join us. We have a couple listeners joining us already. We'd love to fill the table with listeners, 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Call in. We'll get you a couple tickets to that event. Kathy Bordeaux Crombie is a keynote speaker. It's a great opportunity for friendship, fellowship, and faith, and supporting a wonderful ministry. We're all in this together. I love to be with people that we could share ideas and stories with as we journey together on our own faith journey. Our epiphany quote of the day I want to share with you comes from Mother Angelica here today. I want to share, humility is that virtue by which you know yourself, but not disheartened. True humility is being able to look at oneself in full light. This really is in line with the work that I do in coaching, because it's all about self-awareness. It amazes me how so many people have little understanding of who they are and struggle to look at themselves and be honest with themselves and how they show up to the rest of the world. You know, we're all made in likeness and image of God, but all uniquely made. We're all with our own gifts and talents. Thank you to our guest, Dr. Joseph McInerney, for being with us here today in his wonderful book, From Achilles to Superman. And of course, Joe Sheena in his book, Mindset, 12 Steps to Health and Happiness and Longevity. It is Prostate Awareness Month. Please remind the men in your life to check their prostate. Don't forget to connect, communicate, collaborate with your Catholic community. Don't go away. Coming up next, Dr. Ray.